Yeah, I'm kind of going through a hair crisis right now as we speak.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's a crisis, so.
Why is it a crisis?
Because it's like an in-between length thing.
I wonder if I
can change those settings on this. It sounds like I'm like in a castle right now. That's what it sounds really like. I'm going to change the setting.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm trying for the first time to like do my microphone correctly, and I don't think it's working very well. I think it's because like Zoom is like, it's like echoing because I'm on Zoom.
Yeah. And there's like a delay or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. It's like an in between. Back to my hair problem. It's like an in-between length, and then at one point I bleached it, and I'm like, glad I did, but at the same time I'm kind of not because I'm not keeping up with it.
Yeah, and that's like a lot of maintenance. I only ever dyed my hair once in like, I think, 8th or 9th grade, and it was literally the same shade as my natural hair color.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, it's like maybe more red, but... not really.
I feel like you'll look good with like really red hair.
You know, I'm never gonna find out because I can't even like go. It's been like well over a year since it's been almost a year since I had a haircut, but my hair is so long right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's like
wow.
Very long. Very much covering the majority of my torso at this point.
Wow. I always loved your hair color. It's like a really pretty, like, amber.
Amber. I like that. Yeah, it is. Especially when it's not dirty or, like, mousy from the winter. I think it's at its prime in, like, midsummer, you know?
I've never heard the term mousy for hair.
I don't... yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? I kind of get it. So, what we're talking about today is choir.
Choir.
Because it was such an important part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much did it you did it even earlier than I did. You kind of got me into children's choir.
Right.
And it pretty much, I mean, it changed my life. I don't want to speak for you, but I'm going to say it changed your life probably too.
Yeah, absolutely. It played a huge role in who I am and all of that. Yeah. It's weird for me to talk about it now because I haven't sung in any sort of like formal or informal setting beyond my car or my apartment since I graduated from college.
That's really interesting.
7 years.
I think what's crazy is like we both had very similar things that we were doing.
Yeah.
All through school. We did children's choir and then middle school choir, and we both did the plays, and then we did a choir all through high school, took it pretty seriously. And then when college came around, I didn't even know what my major was, actually, when I got there. I had to be told that, no, I was not this major, I was another major. I had no clue what my major was. I just knew it was, like, music, singing.
Yeah.
Really in-depth. Apparently, there are three different programs. And,
yeah, fair enough.
You went into, you did the a cappella group thing.
Yeah. I was in, like, the music majors choir my freshman year for one semester, and it was great. Sandra Snow was the director, so that was cool experience to be able to work with her. And Duncan, my brother, was also in the same choir, which was like fun. I got to meet people that way, and it was like a community, but it was really intense. And also, like, I was never the best or even like close to the best, especially like in classical singing. So it was just like, I was a soprano with all of these diva soprano vocal majors who are like just over the top. So yeah, but I only did that one semester, and then, but I did do a cappella for my entire college career.
Well, you, okay, hold on. First of all, you were among the best, if not, I don't know. Okay, I won't get into all that, but I'm just going to say you have a beautiful voice, and I feel like you were definitely, you had the pop thing down really well, mm-hmm. and that wasn't really, you got to shine in like Rendezvous, which was like our pop rock concert we did in high school. But it was like classical singing was like the only thing available in terms of like climbing the ladder.
Right. And it was like what was valued in our choral program. I feel like Rendezvous was sort of like, it was a treat for everybody at the end of the year. And I think it was a huge reason why we had as many people in the choir program as we did. And like why people would join for the second half of the year sometimes. Yeah. But it was, I mean, yeah, our choral program, I was thinking about it, like thinking about talking with you about, you know, our shared history. And like, it was this really great community and a really wonderful space to learn and grow, but it was also pretty exclusive, especially for us. We were in Choraleres, which was like this 16 person group, and at the time it was like this gift, but like looking back, it's I don't know. I think I know a few people who weren't in the group, like some of Duncan's friends who didn't make it or whatever. Like it altered their perception of like their high school experience in some ways, because there was this like huge, I don't know, there was such an emphasis on classical singing and your capability. Honestly, I feel like the reason that I was able to get into Choraleres, and similarly to State of Fifth, so I'm not trying to be self-deprecating, but I love to sing with a group of people because I think it's sort of similar to my personality in some ways. I'm good at like melding myself to fit. And it was the same with singing, where it was like, yeah, I can sing like a line as an alto or whatever, and you won't hear me outright because I'm not a dramatic diva about singing. But Yeah, I don't know. I digress. Yeah,
you blend very well.
Thank you.
Very well. Yeah. And that's like a skill. It's really hard to teach kids. I mean, they kind of, yeah, that's the thing. You have to figure that out for yourself how to do it. It's like no teacher can really tell you how. You just have to listen and figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was definitely exclusive, and it was definitely a luck thing in a lot of ways, because it was like they're looking for the 16 that can blend, not necessarily like
the best.
And so I definitely like think that was a tough thing for the competitive nature of everything, and that would be tough. But there was a lot of trials that we went throughout our life, mostly being outcasts pretty much up until senior year there. Mm-hmm. Not totally outcasts. I don't want to say that, but I mean, choir was our identity, I think. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a cool identity. It would just really fit like what we like to do and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. And so I just wanted to talk about some of the growing up with choir in our lives. And obviously we went in kind of different directions, but it influenced us because it was kind of part of our childhood. So I wanted to start with NMC Children's Choir.
NMC.
Mostly because of those uniforms that we had. What were the uniforms again?
Well, we had the maroon vests and a white turtleneck that we had to tuck into, as female singers had to tuck into long black skirts that were just, I think they were made out of like drapery material. Like they were not. Oh man.
Yeah.
Those were bad.
Those were warm. Bad. Those were very warm on stage.
Yeah. The amount of times that I've seen people pass, that I saw people like pass out, get it like in a rehearsal before a concert or like puke or whatever. I feel like annually there was at least one kid who was just saying bye bye, going down the
rising. It was unnecessary to wear that many layers on stage.
Yeah. I mean, the turtleneck with the full length. Oh, it was so unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't have hats. You guys used to have hats, right?
No.
Oh, okay. That would be way too hot.
I can't imagine. I think that like when you were, I don't know if that was the whole, because I started in third grade.
Uh-huh.
I started with NMC Children's Choir and did it up through ninth grade. I think that's when it ended.
Okay.
And I feel like maybe we wore a different uniform just the first year as these like little nuggets going up on stage and singing like one song that you just like hoped everybody matched pitch sort of.
Mm.
But yeah. Oh man, the uniform. I feel like in general, choir uniforms, it's a very humbling experience.
Yeah. They're not cute.
Good. No.
It's about uniform and it's about, I don't know. I don't know what the point, I don't know why they had to be ugly.
Because they're cheap.
I guess.
And they could just use those black skirts forever regardless.
Yeah.
I think to some degree, I like the idea of there's just a uniform. Everybody gets it. You don't have to pay for it. I know like my brother Duncan is a choir teacher now out in California.
Oh, right.
And I know his students, like, he's been very thoughtful about choir uniforms because, I mean, when we were in high school, even in college, like, everything was so gendered and you didn't even think about it. And I think now it's like people are trying to move away from that sort of, like, binary way of thinking. So I think in some ways it's a way for everybody to like, yes, look uniform and nobody sticks out that way, especially. Well, I think
they should move towards what we had in NMC Children, the turtleneck with a vest. Yeah. I don't think you could really pin that on a gender traditionally.
No. And yeah, like, I don't know if somebody wanted to wear pants because the boys wore pants, not black skirts. I don't know, like, if I could have been like, no, I want to wear black pants. I can't see Mark Puchala saying no.
I can't either. They were so awesome. They were so, so awesome. I just remember that I couldn't go to a concert one time or something, and I confronted them, and I was, like, about to cry. And they're like, it's fine. Olivia, there are like 150 kids in here. we'll go on. Oh yeah. That was great. We had our little trips. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So getting into the, I guess is the more simple question, but maybe not. Why do you think you got into choir in the very beginning, in the first place?
Interesting. I don't know if I've ever really thought about, like, I think there are certain things in my life where I'm sure there was a decision that was like presented to me. My parents never made me do anything, but specifically in third grade, when I started NMC Children's Choir, I had just started at a new elementary school and didn't have many friends. And I think,
oh God.
But like, I think that's like on me. I've always been sort of a weirdo. I was like, you know, I wore overalls every day and they were not in style like they are now. And I had glasses and I was having a hard time like adjusting, but up until that point, like, I was a very performative kid. Like, I loved being the center of attention at family gatherings. I had been in dance for a while, so I liked being on stage and all of that stuff. So I'm sure my parents were just like, hey, do you want to try this? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I think that's why I started, and I stayed because I really loved singing. And yeah. I just thought it was, and it was like an opportunity to be on stage. And that used to be like, I loved it. I loved being the center of attention. And that went away pretty quickly. But I think like being in front of, I'd much rather be in front of like 500 people performing than like be the center of attention in a room with 10 yeah. a lot of the time. Like, I don't have a problem with public speaking or anything like that. And I think it's all because of choir. So that's why I stuck with it. I was like, this is great. This is a way to get outside of myself and share this like collective experience with these people. We've worked so hard together to create something, and now we get to share it with the world. How cool is that?
Super cool. And you also get to work with other people in a way that's yeah. like so different. And, you know, when you're in classes in small groups and you work with a group, it's more like, here's a worksheet and everybody like solve the problem or create something. Mm-hmm. But with choir, it's so immersive and creative, and like singing with people is so good for the soul. It's like mm-hmm. emotionally really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So not only did we do that, but we also did things in middle school that really stuck out to me. So during elementary school, we kind of were like on and off friends. I was in my own club and I wouldn't let you in the club and all this stuff. It was like really traumatic. And
I mean, I was a weirdo. It's not on you.
It is though. It is on me. I was like very protective of my little group.
And I get it.
By the way, none of the people in my group really liked me very much. I feel like I was this ringleader of this group, and they were all like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, we'll be in your group. But it was like definitely like this thing I just constructed, probably because I don't know, I felt like I was weird. And so that was a very
short. You gotta find your ways to create belonging sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And some ways are more admirable than other ways. And moral. I did not take the moral high ground. I was like, you're in the club. You're not. You're in the club. You're not.
If it makes you feel any better, I mean, I'm sure that I brought that up more than entirely necessary as our friendship continued, but I just want to let you know I do not hold on to that in any way anymore.
I was saying it because I know that deep down, Izzy, you wanted to bring that to light.
No, I really didn't.
I'm projecting.
I've released it from my past.
Okay. Okay.
No hard feelings.
All right. Yeah. Well, I still feel really bad. And we went to, middle school and we were, do you remember when we were hosts of the talent show?
I feel like as soon as you said middle school, I was like, we're going to talk about the talent show. When it's such a little blip, but for whatever reason, I 100% remember being the host of the talent show.
What's really weird to me is I was trying to recall the memories today, and it seems like you and me were in like lockstep throughout this mm-hmm. choir journey. And the people around us would kind of shift around, but we did that. And then later on, weren't we co-presidents or something of choir at one point?
Probably. Yeah. That something checks like out. That? I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, we were our senior year. I think we were.
Yeah. So I feel
and you
like
we took attendance every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember.
I thought you took attendance. I think
I was president of like the whatever the 10th grade choir was.
Yeah.
And then our senior year, we were co-presidents, I think. But I wasn't even in it for one semester because I had to, like, take econ or something.
Oh.
Because I didn't have enough space in my schedule. But, yeah, I think. Yes, that was. How bad is it? I don't remember the names. That was Corral. Yeah.
I don't remember whatever the women's choir we were in. VM? What does it stand for? I don't know.
Vocal majority. I was going to say, like, novum voce. It's vocal majority.
Isn't it crazy? It's only been 10 years, but I don't remember a lot of things.
Yeah. And it was, yeah, it is wild because it was just, it really was all consuming for us.
Yes, it was. It was our life.
Yeah. And it was like my identity was 100% wrapped up in being a choir girl, and not because I like wanted that necessarily, but I wasn't like, I did fine in school, but like, I didn't like class.
Me neither.
Nothing interested me. I didn't
do great though. So that was the difference. So I kind of,
you did, you did well. You were like in NHS, weren't you?
Oh, I wasn't. God. I think I got kicked out. Because I didn't get enough service hours or something.
Who knows?
I didn't go to any meetings and they were like, no, you can't be in it. And I'm like, but my mom really wants me to. And they were like, you're out. No.
I was too lazy to even write the essay to get into it. So, you know.
Yeah. I was in middle school NHS and JHS.
Me too. I think you had to volunteer like 1 hour.
Oh, man. That was a good time. Oh,
yeah, what a time. What a time. Yeah. All that to say, my identity was like fully wrapped up in choir because it was like the only thing that sparked any joy in me. And that's sort of like all that I thought my life would ever be is music because of it.
Yeah, I did too. And it's weird because it's like I've forgotten so much mm-hmm. from it. I remember we used to say like these people, we're going to have reunions and we're so tight knit. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like the Marines. That is how tight.
what a comparison. But it was.
It was right. So tight knit. I mean, it was crazy. Yeah.
And it was especially that 16, like our junior and senior year, the 16 person group we were in. Like there was an hour long class that we took every single day with those people. We had gigs like during class hours as well as after school weekly, probably. And during the holidays and during Valentine's Day, we were out for like days at a time singing, which is wild. Like,
it is.
But whatever. And we all did the musicals and we did solo and ensemble. And then we would like finish up our crazy days of all this shit. And then we would all hang out and have movie nights.
Right.
And like we were always like, together all the time.
It was really immersive, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't really talk. We didn't really have that many outside friends. I guess it wasn't much different than any other group of people, any other, like a sports team, I guess. But yeah. We really did do that all year round because right. In the summer we had like the retreats and we were all friends. So we were always mm-hmm. hanging out and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the biggest difference is that it was a year round deal. It wasn't a sports season. Cause like if I was also on the tennis team and when tennis season would happen, I would get kind of busy with that, but it would also be like rendezvous and solo and ensemble. So I'd be like doing both full time. And so I had these tennis team friends who I'd see the rest of the year during school, or I'd have a class with them and I'd be like, hey, but it's not, there's just not the same level of knowing one another.
Right.
And it's different too. Sports are so intense and like there's a winner and a loser every single time you participate in it. And that's like, that just changes the dynamic a little bit. And with tennis, you know, you, I was about to say audition. I'm still a quirk. You tried out and you would end up like on in a seed. Like you would be a, like you'd be number one or number two or number three, whatever. And sometimes you could like challenge one another to see if you could like be better than that other person and take their spot. So it doesn't set up for this like really trusting, welcoming space in the same way that like when you're doing music, there are trials and tribulations, yes, but you're all like failing and learning together. And that creates like this vulnerability among everybody, because it's like, so if one of us is hurting, if one of us is having a hard time, none of us are going to get through this. So together, if we can trust one another and we can be empathetic towards one another, we're all going to get there in the end. And so of course that leads to like deeper and more meaningful friendships.
So well said. So well said. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. I couldn't have said something that profound. So good. Yeah. Yeah. So do you think when you went off to college, there was like this transition period of loss, like, or do you think you were kind of, it was like a slow transition and you were ready to break away from the high school group that we had?
Yeah. No, there's definitely a sense of loss. I think it's hard. I mean, I know what I experienced in East Lansing, and I'm sure it was even more intense in Ann Arbor, but like never had I felt more like a little small town girl than in my first few months of college. And I was in this like liberal arts program with a bunch of kids who are from Ann Arbor or from like bigger cities, where they were like taking humanities classes and like women's studies classes in high school. And oh, I was like, I took AP Lit. Like that's as far, you know, like that's
we were not very culturally, like no. We were not immersed in the multicultural society at all.
No, I mean, it's just such a limited worldview, and there's only so much you can gain, especially, I mean, like social media wasn't really, I mean, that makes us sound older than we are, but like social media wasn't what it is today. It wasn't like a space where you can find different types of people. You were just like posting on your friends' walls or whatever. But I think, so yeah, when I got to college, I felt like a fish out of water in a lot of ways. But I think there were a few things that helped me. One of them, the big one, was that I got into an a cappella group my freshman year, like 3 weeks into being in college, which was, again, sort of a miracle. I mean, it wasn't, but it was.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember, like,
she doesn't know how good she is.
I'm really, I can blend. So I'm glad that I got in. I'm so grateful. And that really very quickly, it was similar. I think there were 16 of us. And like throughout my entire time in college, it was usually between like 12 and 16 people who were in this group. And it was entirely student led. And we would meet for 2.5 hours on Wednesday nights and 2.5 hours on Sunday nights. And we would have gigs and we like competed in this thing. If you've seen Pitch Perfect, we competed in ICCA. It's like not the same as the movie, but it also like sort of is. People are wild about their a cappella. So that was a gift, because I still had this like safe space where I could go and be a part of something and make something. And it was really special because like we also arranged all of our own music. Like everything we did was created by us.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, I say we, I literally never arranged a song, but
you probably could have, though, you know, that was out. That was an option.
Yeah, I definitely could have. I'm just, it's sort of like I never wrote the essay for NHS. Similar,
right.
Similar like, deal.
Well,
similar
I could do it, but let's
I could
not.
Do it, but also like other people are going to be better at it. And there were, we had a lot of great arrangers and we used to like sit down and decide, you know, specifically for like ICCA, you have a 12-minute set. So it would take us like a couple of weeks to decide how we were going to craft this 12 minutes that we had to like perform and hopefully impress judges to like move on to the next round or whatever. But I think, yeah, Corollaires really set me up to be able to be an independent musician in that way and feel confident enough to be like, yeah, I can learn my lines. It's no problem. Which just made me feel immediately more comfortable and safe within this new group of people. So it was a gift that existed for me in college, especially because going into college, I was really freaked out. I had auditioned for one music school at DePauw University in Indiana, and I did not get in. I also like totally bombed my audition. Like it just didn't go well, which was fine. And I knew, so I ended up at MSU and.
Terrible school. Just kidding. It's amazing. It's an amazing school.
Yeah. You know, now I live behind enemy lines at all times, but, yeah, but the biggest reasons why I decided to go to MSU and not to go to DePauw or another liberal arts school that I got into, and not for music, but just in general. Well, one of them was like, I didn't want to be in a bunch of debt for having gone to a small private school. But also my brother was at MSU and he was in an a cappella group. And another, I think, formative thing for us as choir kids, when we were in junior high and high school.
Oh, God, I know what you're going to say.
When we were in junior high and high school, there was this thing called like the a cappella night. And there were a couple of groups who would come up from MSU to perform. And it was like a freaking rock concert.
It was a rock concert,
For choir kids specifically. But like they would sell out the auditorium and people would be like screaming. And then you would like, this is so funny to me because I'm like, I was like friends with these dudes. But you would like take pictures with them after the show and you like, oh, it's so funny. But anyway, so I knew that there was this sort of vibrant a cappella community at MSU. And I was like, I think I have a good shot of getting into a group. There were like six on campus. So that was something that ended up drawing me there over the smaller schools that had like one a cappella group and it wasn't a big deal. I was like, I'm like into this.
Yes.
I want to do this. This seems like fun. And then my brother ended up going to MSU the year before me and he got into the a cappellas, which is the all male group that used to come up every year that we'd like take pictures with, which is insane.
They were
that
so
I would do
famous
that
in our town.
They really were. Which, yeah, for us. I mean, no offense, but like on campus, they were like not a very big deal, to be honest, which is funny.
Wow.
But yeah, they were a huge deal to us.
Huge. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, we loved that show so much. And they would come to our school too. And so we like knew everything.
Yeah.
We would like pick our favorite. I mean, it was definitely very much a Backstreet Boys situation.
Yeah. You know, they were like the cute ones who you had crushes on. And then like going to parties in college and seeing them there, I was like,
oh my
I still
gosh.
Had moments where I was like, there he is.
That
I
is
had a crush
crazy.
On you when I was 15.
Oh,
but
my God. Wait, so here's what I'm wondering. So for me, obviously I went to music school. And a lot of the sparkle of music went away because it turned into a job a little bit.
Mm.
There were certain things that were really great and like, I can't imagine going to school for anything else because I literally am not interested in anything else except for performing arts. But I'm wondering if I would have in some ways had more joy in it if I had done what you did, which is stay in it, but more in a more, I guess, where you're in more control of what you do, because like when you're in music school, they're like, stick to the classical music and you have to take this music theory class and oral training and everything. And I'm like, but I want to do like songwriting, but that was like not in the curriculum at all.
Right.
And I didn't even know how to get that in the curriculum, but it just wasn't a thing. And so, yeah. Do you ever think like, wow, I'm actually glad, not that you ever, I don't know, but do you see like are you glad you did that? Like you went and did something else and then music was just, it was a different part of your life where it wasn't academic.
Oh, yeah, I am. I really am. I was still pretty in tune with what was happening in the music school at MSU because of Duncan. And I had a couple other friends who were sort of music ed majors who were in a cappella groups.
Oh,
some,
yeah.
Depending on if they're vocal students, depending on what like studio you are part of, there were certain studios that would like not allow you to be in an a cappella group, but others would. So there were a few, you know, who I knew through that. And honestly, I think for me, like choir and music was so much less about the actual music and so much more about the community.
Yeah.
And the friendships and the idea of like, yeah, like what I said earlier about sort of collectively creating something together to share. I think, so yeah, I'm glad that I was sort of, I mean, my hand was forced a little bit, right? I didn't get into music school, so I had to make another decision. And I'm glad that that happened though. I think it was really a gift and it was meant to be, because I sort of, my first few years in college, as far as like academic stuff goes, I sort of floated. I wasn't totally sure what I wanted. But I ended up studying abroad, which sounds cliche, but I studied abroad after my sophomore year in Costa Rica, which led to some more independent studies towards my junior, senior year. And I just learned so much about, I guess really community and being an active and important, like being an active member and engaging in the community in which you're a part of and helping, listening to others in order to hear what they need and how you can leverage what you have and how you can leverage your privilege or your experiences to assist others in ways that they need it. I think like those were classes I was taking, and I got to learn how to look at the world in a new way, which I think you can do in music class too. You know, in studying music, that's another perspective to have on the world, really focusing your energy and your life into like a very creative and like both very like strict but also a very fluid space. You get to do those things too. And the way that you approach the world and see the world is very unique because of that. And I just ended up having, you know, I wasn't able to do that. So I had to find school that I liked besides choir.
Right.
And I did. And that was, I ended up loving my classes because of it, which was great.
That's really well said. And I also, it also made me think about how, especially in high school, we were given so much freedom to do what we wanted to do. We did have people arranging their own music. We had people singing their own songs at rendezvous. You know, I was choreographing this silly dance for my song and doing mashups. And then we did like these sketches that were like SNL for magical dinners. And we were just given so much creative freedom. And I think we were used to like creating our own thing. And so I definitely think that influenced us to be leaders and think for ourselves, especially in a creative sense and listening to other people. For sure. But Yeah, it's really interesting. So can you imagine what you would have done if choir wasn't available to us? Because it was a really big deal in the hometown we were in, Traverse City, Michigan. But it's not like that everywhere. And and it's also like kind of jagged. Like you might have a children's choir, but you don't have a middle school situation. There are lots of schools that don't have choir or even music programs. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, what do you think you would have done, or how do you think that would have impacted your life if you didn't have it at all?
I don't know. So much of who I was, and I won't say like who I am now, but like a credit to my younger self, like I wouldn't be who I am now if it wasn't for choir girl Izzy. Everything was wrapped up in this, and it was like, it was my friends, and some of our friends we probably wouldn't have been friends with if it wasn't for choir. Like maybe you and I would have been, because we lived half a mile away from each other and we didn't have
unfortunately
drivers.
For you
really easy
like
to
banging
out.
Down his
ear
door, like showing her the snake I found on the ground.
No, oh my god, it was a very reciprocal friendship, I would say, that I was banging on your door as much. Not with snakes.
You were more like
probably with like dress up clothes. Phone. Yeah, which I had until I was a 21-year-old. So
that's something to be proud of.
I feel good about it.
It's cool.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it makes me sad, I guess. I mean, a lot of things in the world make me sad sometimes, but I think that was very emo. That's not what there's just like a lot
so
of
emo. Oh my gosh.
Very emo of me. It breaks my heart a little bit that there are probably so many young people who do feel lost and who don't feel as though there are any opportunities for them to be a part of anything, and a music program could help them in some way. I mean, yes, our music program, like we were sort of in the exclusive part of our choir program, but we had these huge choirs that were not like anybody could be in the, what was it called?
Concert choir.
And anybody could be in concert
choir in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you had freshmen and you had seniors, and it was like, everybody was there. They were trying to sing. And I think like they really, choir specifically, because you don't need to have access to any sort of instrument. Some people are born with beautiful voices, some people aren't, but you can learn to sing without having to like pay for private lessons. You don't even need a piano.
Nope.
Like it's just something that's so inherent in so many of us. I think everybody has a voice.
To learn how to read music.
No. Most of the choir kids don't know how to read music. In fact, it used to drive the kids who could read music crazy, but like you don't need to. And I think it's so accessible that it's sad to know that some people still don't have access to it, even though I think it's, as far as music goes, it's by far the most accessible way to create something.
Yeah. And we didn't have TikTok, but nowadays at least have, you know, sure, there are a lot of issues with TikTok with comparison and all this stuff. But mm-hmm. the good thing is, even not just kids, but also adults, they have a way to do their thing. Like,
yeah,
people, whereas maybe they don't have anyone in their family, or especially during COVID, there's mm-hmm. very little interaction going on. But there's a way to like go do your karaoke on an app, or go sing a duet with someone on TikTok. And it's mm-hmm. just so important to have an outlet if you want to do it, you know, do it. Or you can start an a cappella group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are YouTube videos like on how to start an a cappella group, you know, start one at your school.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think. And yeah, it's interesting to think about like specifically TikTok. It's wild to see how creative people can be. on TikTok. I get sucked in sometimes and then feel like an old lady, but it's like, and I get caught up in the comparison too, where I'm like, oh my gosh, I could never do that. It's really intimidating. I would never post a video of me singing because I'm not as good as these people. But like, what's that about? Because also I feel like on TikTok, people are always saying like, I found my community here. Everybody's so supportive. And I do think that that's a big part of it too. If you end up on the right side of it, you can find people who are willing to like gas you up and appreciate you for like your ability to take a risk and be a part of something. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. I'm really grateful we had it. I hope that there's more, I don't know what the right word is. I don't know how we'll get to a place where our society can like value it more so that it's something that's just available to everyone. But I hope that we can get there at some point because yeah, it's so important. I think choir and I'll also say camp, which was like another very creative, funky community I got to be a part of growing up. Like those are the two things that made me who I am for sure.
Yeah. You loved camp. You still love camp, I'm sure. That's true.
Yeah, I do. I miss it sometimes, but
yeah,
it's all good.
Well, thank you for talking to me today.
Thanks for having me on to reminisce a little bit. We didn't, you know what? I just gotta say, we didn't. Yes, we talked about NMC Children's Choir uniforms, but we did not even talk about 9th grade chamber choir uniforms.
Oh my gosh. I even had that written down. Those were insane.
Those, well, first of all, entirely gender neutral. Everybody wore the same thing.
Well, yes, they were gender.
I just wore heels with, oh my gosh.
Those are kind of dope in their own way, but also at the time didn't make any sense for our age group.
No. The cummerbunds.
Yeah, we had cummerbunds and tuxedo shirt.
A tux shirt, yeah, with like a button at the top rather than like a bow tie. There was like a button cover that you were supposed to put on the top of it and then black slacks.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about the button. There were oh my gosh. Well, and also we would, even with our costume, we always had amazing costumes and like, oh gosh, that was such a fun part of choir and the dance moves and everything. Mm-hmm. Dance moves that we weren't a show choir.
No, we
still did some dancing.
Yeah, for rendezvous, we'd pull out the staff.
Yeah,
Eric's sister would come in and choreograph everything for us.
She would show.
That was great.
Yeah, I really miss being in choir a lot.
Yeah. Me too. What do you do? I mean, I know that you're doing voice lessons and things, but like, what's your creative outlet vocally or otherwise?
I teach voice lessons. I took like 2 years off from teaching at all. And I took time off from singing. So I taught for 2 years in schools, got completely burnt out. And was really wanting to do my own performance stuff. Then I got into strictly film acting.
Yeah.
And then I would do like, I did for like 3 years, like immersive theater. So
yeah.
Murder the Mystery. Polar Express. And then when Corona hit, I stopped doing that. But the only thing, fortunately, I was so lucky that film is a little bit easier to do because you can just do like a couple people. Like I did a thing with just my roommates and I was like, okay, it was very much like how I did in high school. Like everybody's going to be in this thing that I'm filming. Yeah. So I did that with them. But yeah, it's mostly just film. And then I started teaching voice lessons again because I was like, this is the only thing I want to do to make money because I was bartending, but then I quit drinking. And so I'm like, okay, voice lessons it is.
Yeah.
I don't have any other skills.
So, you do, but.
Yeah. It was either that or finding, or I don't know, I'm doing some sort of online job or something. So yeah. And now I
especially
teach
right now.
Yeah, exactly. And down in the south, it's a little more lax, which is not good. Mm-hmm. But I do teach in a music school. It's like adults go there too, but it's like a music school. And I teach there just 2 days a week.
Gotcha. That's nice. How many students do you have?
At the school, I think I have 20-ish.
Wow.
Ish.
In 2 days in a week? Wow.
That's too many. Maybe it's more 15 or 12. I don't think it's 20. I think overall.
Still double digits.
Yeah, and then I have my own people that I teach the rest of the week. But I only have 2 or 3 people a day. So it's
okay.
Chill.
Yeah.
I would like more nice people.
Gotcha. I'll put the word out.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm always I have people all over the place, and then I've got a handful of people in Lafayette. But it's good. It's very it's very fun. It's very fun. I don't teach how I learned. I teach more what do you want to sing? Okay, let's go with that. And then we'll adjust. And if I need to bring in the classical technique, I will. But classical singing is so different from pop and musical theater and all that stuff. And I learned some pretty bad habits in choir. And I see the kids. Now I see the kids doing what kind of we learned a little bit. And I'm okay, that's too much. We need to dial back the whole thing going on.
Yeah. Sounding like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's so, that was okay, not to get back into it, but that was something, especially going into an a cappella group, which is pretty poppy. I was usually singing the soprano one line, which is very different from high school, and I was almost an alto too, almost always. But I, most of the people in my group were not as classically trained as I was. And they, my roommate and friend who was also in the group used to get weirded out by opera. And I was like, no, it's it's beautiful. And she's like, no, it sounds so fake and forced.
Fake.
And I was like, do you know how hard it is to make your voice sound like? But that was such an interesting perspective switch. Cause I always thought I can't be a good singer because I don't have this big, auditorium filling voice. That's just not, I have a fairly soft and airy voice. It's just the way it is. I can belt sometimes if it's not too high, but it's just, so that was just an interesting thing to be a lot of people actually don't think you're that good if you're classically trained. And maybe you can sing longer. I never lost my voice. A lot of people would lose their voices if we were doing a lot of gigs. And so that's one thing that, I was grateful that I had training so I wasn't straining myself. But it's an interesting.
It is very interesting. I'm very fascinated by the different types of singing and how people get there. Because there are lots of fantastic singers with no trick. You can come in, honey. Jeffrey. You can come in. See you later. I was going to introduce.
No.
But he is embarrassed, I think. Yeah. So anyways, it's very interesting to me. Yeah. I always got laryngitis. I had a lot of tension. I think I still do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have a lot more now than I did.
Really? How's your TMJ?
Oh, just as bad as ever, baby.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like back. I had like fake braces for many years. Got them off my senior year of college. Then it was fine for a while. And then my retainer broke and I never went back to the orthodontist. And here we are 3 years later.
Oh.
And my jaw like doesn't open.
Okay, I'm gonna stop this so I can talk to you. Bye, Izzy.
Bye.